Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
We're going to have prayer. I just want to minister the word of the Lord to you. As we were worshiping, this is what I saw. I saw a big loss. What I actually saw was like a row of teeth, but like one of them is missing. And what I'm seeing in my spirit, I believe by the Holy Spirit, is that for some people listening to my voice, you expected something to be there for a long time, and now it's gone. But I see the Lord filling that in and replacing and restoring. And I hear the Lord saying, do not be afraid concerning your future. Do not be afraid concerning that place where there seems to be right now loss, because I'm going to fill that in with my goodness. I'm going to cause you to have peace in the midst of storms. I'm going to fill in the blank spot. I'm going to replace that which is missing with my love and with my peace and with my grace. And at such a time as you are afraid, remember that I am with you and I will never leave you. I am the constant in a world of change, in a time where things can rapidly be lost. I am the one thing that will not abandon you. I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. I am yours, says the Lord. Now draw from my love and draw from my healing grace, and receive what I have for you, for I will surely fill in all that is missing, says the Lord. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your goodness. And I pray for every heart in this room. And Kathy and I, we just pray right now in Jesus' name that, Lord, you would touch every person.
Thank you, Jesus.
Here in the main auditorium, in the cafe, those listening online, the mighty Holy Spirit, to touch people right where they need a touch. And Lord, as we go into your word, may it refresh, Lord. May it give life. May it bring strength to every person, Lord. Some people in this service right now really need a touch. And I thank you that you're close, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Wow, I feel something in this room very strong and very deep. I'm so glad for God's presence. Can we give the Lord a hand clap this morning for his goodness? Amen.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Are you ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
All right, let's take our teaching outline, and don't forget, next Sunday, the mayor's going to be here. It's going to be a very different service, very creative. If you've ever wondered what Gateway City Church is doing for the community, come next Sunday, because you're going to be filled with exciting vision, all right? And that's at 9:30 and 11:15. So welcome everybody in the cafe. If you're joining us online, excited to have you here. We had a beautiful first service. By the way, the first service at 9:30 this morning worked very, very well. Even though it was Labor Day weekend, it was well filled. A lot of people chose that service today, and we had a marvelous time. So we're glad everybody's here together. And we're going to finish, Kathy and I are going to finish this series that we've been doing called Let's Talk Relationship. And today we're going to talk about the bond of love. Our scripture is Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. You'll have it on your teaching outline there in front of you if you have that. And it says this, "But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond." Everyone say bond. Love, which is the bond of perfect harmony. Please take a pencil or a pen and circle that word bond, because we're going to talk today about the bond of love. And I want to just thank my wife, Kathy. We've been doing this series together for 6 weeks. This is the last part of this particular series. I really appreciate her help, and I wonder if you would join me in thanking Kathy Canastracy for helping out with this series.
Thank you. It's been fun.
Yeah.
Teaching together and learning how to have a better relationship as we teach together,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
So I have a question for everybody and you. Why have we been doing this long series on relationships together? And there's one simple reason, and that reason is that's because no one succeeds in life apart from relationships.
Right.
And I want to add to that, relationships that are loving and healthy, that's what makes us successful in life. So we want you to succeed. And of course, the first thing that I thought this morning when I woke up, thank you, Jesus, was that God wants us to succeed in life,
yes,
right?
He does.
And he told me that. He just placed that in my heart. Kathy, I want you to succeed, and I want my people to succeed. Some say, you may have heard some people say, all I need is God. Have any of you ever heard that? It's
right.
Just me and Jesus.
I don't need people.
I don't need people.
Right.
I just need to go up into nature, and it's me and Jesus all alone. But how many of you know you get weird when you're alone
that's isolated?
Right.
That's right.
And so that's really crazy because God, He made it so that we would be successful in our relationships because of us, because of us together. We don't want to do life alone.
Right. Don't do life alone. Nobody wins. Nobody succeeds. Let's put that up on the screen. Nobody succeeds in life without what? Relationships. You cannot succeed in life on your own. Now, when it comes to relationships, the key is bonding. Because it's not just meeting new people. It's not just starting a relationship. It's maintaining a relationship and staying together. You know, the meeting is easy. The connecting, the initial part of a relationship, whether it's husband, wife, father, son, friend to friend, whatever the relationship is, the front end sometimes is the easy part. It's staying in the relationship that becomes the challenge. So what I thought we would do today is talk about what's the glue? What is the bonding factor or the sticky factor within relationships? And that has to do with the bonding. So in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, the Bible says this, there is a friend who, what?
Sticks.
Sticks. Everyone say sticks.
Sticks.
All right, that means adhere, to stick together. That means through tough times, easy times, long periods of times. You know, you might think, wow, I have a great friendship with George. You know, we met 2 weeks ago and wow, we got a great relationship. Well, time will tell the quality of that friendship. Time will tell the quality of your ministry partnership or of your marriage and so forth. And so the question becomes, how do we actually make relationships last? What are the secrets of bonding? What's the glue that holds us together over the long period? I was telling the first service this morning about, I don't know, how many of you were born, how many of you were actually alive and listening to music in the year 1970? You were alive and you were listening to music. Do you remember a duo by the name of Simon? And who?
Garfunkel.
Simon and Garfunkel. Now, if you weren't listening to music in the 70s, maybe you've never heard of these guys, but they actually made, you know, Rolling Stone magazine's top 500 list of most famous songs ever. Number 75 on that list was Bridge Over Troubled Water. And it went all over the world, and it lasted for a long time, and some of you even know the song today. And I think part of the song's success, to be that old and to last so long, was lyrics. You know, the lyrics were incredible. It's a song about friendship. It's a song about relationships, sticking together. And some of the lyrics go like this. When tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. I'm on your side. When times get rough and friends just can't be found, like a bridge over
troubled water,
I will lay me down. And just talking about friendship and all that. But here's the kicker on that song. The shocking surprise is the friendship of Simon and Garfunkel broke after that song. In fact, that was one of the last songs that you never hear about Simon and Garfunkel anymore. They're not together anymore. Great bands break up. That's sad. But they actually got into a fight over who was going to lead, who was the lead vocal on that song. And not long after this song about relationship did the friendship kind of melt down, and all that beautiful music that they were making was lost. I call it, I say they really Garfunkeled their relationship. They really Garfunkeled it. I mean, and you know, I'm watching people in life that Garfunkel their partnerships, their friendships. They mess up. It's not the beginning. That's the easy part. It's the sticking. It's the bonding. It's the staying together through the hard times that really is the challenge. So I say this, relationships that lack the sticky factor can easily slip apart.
Right. For example, maybe you've met some adoptive parents. They have adopted children that suffer from detachment disorder. That means that they don't bond to their parents, to their biological mm-hmm. or to their adoptive parents.
Right.
So that means that parental bonding is so important in a child's life because mm-hmm. that will make the difference between growing up to be emotionally healthy
right.
or not emotionally healthy. And a baby that's not bonded, that doesn't have that stick factor, will statistics say that they would grow up to be depressed mm-hmm. or maybe they start in criminal activity or they have depressive problems, and that's really sad. And the same is true for us in the church.
Right.
God wants to provide us with healthy, loving relationships that will help us and encourage us in our relationships with each other and with the Lord. So we need those kind of relationships
right.
in our life that help us to stick to each other and to stick to God. So in order to do that, we need the love of God. We need that bond of God's love in our lives.
That was the verse we read at the beginning, was put on the love of Christ. Put on love, which is the bond, right? Now, there are certain things that we can do besides just saying, hey, love ya. You know, and it's great to say love ya, but we trivialize what love actually is. Love, as we've been learning, is behavior. It's how we act toward each other. It's what we do. It's what we invest and sow into our relationships. So if you were to say to me, Pastor David, what are three things that I could do that would really allow me to deeply bond and deeply connect with other people? These are the three things that I would say to you. First of all, let me take a survey. How many of you would like to learn how to create a deeper sticky factor in the relationships that matter the most to you? You don't want to lose anybody, right? So let me give you, Kathy and I are going to give you today, three loving things that actually create glue, actually create connection in relationships. Number one is listening. Listening creates a bond. James chapter 1 talks about how we should be very, very quick to listen and slow to speak. My problem is I'm quick to speak and slow to listen. We have to turn that around, don't we? We have to be quick to listen, quick to be the person that stops talking. In other words, it's very easy for us to stop talking and open our ears instead of being quick to jump in and say what needs to be said. Are you a good listener? It's an important question. It relates to how well your relationships are going to work. Would your wife say you're a good listener? Would your child say you're a good listener? Would your son say that you're a good listener? Or are you tapping on that digital device while you're talking? Or are you watching the TV? Or are you actually plugged in to the relationship? Are you listening? Because listening is relational Velcro. Listening, and thank you, by the way, for listening. I feel closer to you right now because I'm talking and you're listening. No, listening is like glue. It's like Velcro. I mean, in fact, I love this quote by David Augsburger. He says, being heard is so close to being loved that to the average person, they're almost indistinguishable. In other words, if you want to show someone that you love them, listen to them. Now, I'm a communicator. I'm a preacher. I'm a prophetic voice. I talk. I communicate. And I have to tell on myself and preachers as well. Sometimes it's true of many Christians too, all kinds of leaders and vocal people. We think that we can erase a person's pain with our words. We think if we just say the right thing to that person who is hurting, who's just lost a loved one, who's just lost their job, they're in a terrible situation, and they're in pain, and we want to do something, that we think that if we just say the right thing, all the pain is going to be gone. And sometimes we mess up when we're trying to say the right thing, and the whole premise of that is not true. I actually, although words are powerful and words give life and words can bring comfort and so on, if I really want to bond with someone, if I really want to help them, it begins not by what I say, it begins by me opening my ear and listening to them. Does that make sense to everybody? And how much more healing would be in our relationships if we would learn to listen? Now, Kathy's got some great ideas about how to be a better listener, so let's listen to her.
Well, I experienced this. We were on vacation. This was a few years back. Mm-hmm. And you were speaking at a church where we were on vacation. And we were at Brother Morocco's church. And it was the evening service. And we were there late. And so they took us out afterwards. And it was late. And I knew that them being the pastors that they are, they just work really hard on Sundays.
That's
it's like a long day,
sure.
Like maybe an 18-hour day or something like that. And I was having some medical issues, some things that women go through. And so I started telling them about my problem, and they listened to me. And I felt so loved because they were just listening, and they really took an interest in what I was saying.
Right.
And afterwards, I just felt so comforted that someone would listen to me. And I thought, on top of that, it was so late, and I knew that they were tired, but they just showed love to me, and that was awesome.
And that creates a bond. Like, even to this day, that really was the beginning of, a deeper relationship. And it wasn't something they said. It was just that they listened.
They just loved me through their listening. So here's the three ideas that will help us to learn to listen better. The first one is, when you're trying to listen to someone, is let them speak. Isn't that deep?
Yeah, amazing.
Let them talk.
That's
and
a
so many times, I don't know if you all are the same as me, but many times I want to say what's in my head next. So I'm not really listening to what the person is saying. I'm just thinking about the thing that I'm going to say next. But that's not really listening. That's not focusing on their need. And so I would completely miss what they're trying to say and convey to me. So a good thing is making eye contact. Like you said earlier, we have all of our little digital devices that we are just addicted to. And then turn off the TV and really take time to listen to that person. The second idea is confirm what that person is saying to you. And this is also hard, especially when you want to get done with a conversation. It's like, let's move this on. Let's get going here. No, listening really says, I want to make sure that I understand what it is that you're saying to me. And so repeat back to the person, so is this what you said to me? And a lot of times they'll say, no, you completely misunderstood what I was saying. And this is hard work, listening.
Yeah.
So, and don't preach to them like we would maybe would have the temptation to do, or correct them and say, you know, put down their feeling. They feel like they
feel. Well, you should just have more faith.
Right. No, just listen and don't quit until you understand what that person is trying to communicate to you. And then the third thing is that timing is everything in listening.
Right.
So it's not really a good idea for me to wait until he's asleep. He's worked 15 hours that day, and he's already snoring. Not that he does that. But and then I say, hey, are you awake? That's not really a good time to try to get...
drop a bomb.
Right,
or,
get good attention from you. So what we do is what we try to do is, because sometimes we're so heated up in the situation that we're in, we don't want to say, okay, let's take time to talk. Let's set a time to talk when we're both not upset about it. Let's have coffee. We're fine. Everything's going to work out. We're going to do fine. And then another trick that, you know, I've used with my kids, not with you ever, but is count to 10.
Count to 10.
And just take a time out, and it's like, okay, this is going to be okay. We're going to work this out.
That's good. That's good. Now, if you're listening on videotape, if you're listening at another time to this message, especially if you're in a small group, take a few minutes, follow your teaching outline, and finish your group together by talking and listening, and you'll have a great group. All right. Now, back here in the auditorium, number one is listening. Is everybody listening? Number two is tolerance. Now, before you get upset about this politically charged word and this word that gets thrown around a lot, I'm not talking about political correctness. What I'm talking about is a deep, affectionate patience with the imperfections of the people that you're connecting with. Look at what Colossians chapter 3 says. If you want to bond with somebody, you got to be tolerant. Here's what it says. Accept life and be most patient and tolerant with one another, always ready to forgive if you have a difference. And I would almost edit that if I could. I would say when you have a difference. Because you know what, brothers and sisters? When you're in a relationship, it's not a question as much as if you will have a difference, but when you will have a difference. Men are different than women. Boys are different than girls. Adults are different than children. Whatever your relationship is, personality, everybody has their own unique personality. So it's only really a matter of time, even with the people that you care about the most in your life. You might vote differently, think differently, expect differently from very important people in your life. Now, the question is, here we're talking about bonding. Question is, what do you do when there's a difference? And the Bible says, put up with it. Be tolerant. Be patient toward the differences that you have. Accept life. You know what? Babies cry. Teenagers forget to do their homework, right? Bosses sometimes don't do what they're supposed to do, or they do too much of what they're supposed to do. Sometimes pastors make mistakes. Sometimes leaders make mistakes. Put up with everything that you can. Otherwise, if you don't want any trouble in your life, you're going to end up alone. If you are in relationships, you're going to have to accept life and really learn to be tolerant and patient toward the people that you love.
Yeah, but
including me.
Have you ever noticed that some people are really annoying?
I did notice that.
And difficult?
Yes.
I mean, I'm glad that that's not true of me.
Right.
Or you.
Right, it's other people.
But so glad, yeah, that we can be, you know, the Lord can help us to be tolerant and forgiving. You know, and that's really what keeps our relationships from coming apart. As we learned in the long list of the qualities of love, love bears all things. Mm. And that means that we can put up with each other. I remember a story when one time early on in our ministry that you were marriage counseling with someone and you told the wife, gave you this long list of stuff that she was irritated with her husband. And you said, this was kind of like the early on in my education and pastoring, and you said, well, you're just going to have to put up with it. And I thought, no, no, after I got over my defensiveness over that comment. But I thought, that's really true. We really do have to put up with the differences that happen in relationships.
Right. Our differences don't have to be resolved. We can live with our differences. That's called tolerance. And if we don't have tolerance concerning our differences, then we Garfunkel. You understand what I'm saying? We slip apart, and because we're not seeing everything the way, you know, I can't force her to look at life the way I look at life. Fortunately, she looks at life in a beautiful way that I admire and appreciate. But there are some things that we see differently, so we put up with that. Now, look, I'm not saying, and I wasn't saying to that lady, that intolerable things should be tolerated, right? Intolerable things should not be tolerated. Outrageous things, crazy things. You know, I hate to tell you this, but I've got a family member who is a raging, at this point, self-destructive and very dangerous addict. And he's somebody in my family that we all love very, very much, but he is not safe. His behavior is out of control, outrageous, dangerous, violent, etc. And there is a time where you have to draw a boundary, a very clear boundary, with intolerable behavior, and you've got to say, that is not okay. You can't do that. So that's important. I'm not saying, and God doesn't expect us to tolerate intolerable things, but there are some things that are tolerable for you that you need to put up and stop chafing. Like, you know, if the world would just get its act together and do things the way I want them to do it, that then I would be happy, because it might be a long time before you find happiness. The Bible says to accept life. And so there are times where we draw a boundary and we have to confront, for example, a person who's doing the wrong thing. But here's a principle. I want to put this up on the screen. And if I think we, if we could all memorize this, let's remember this when we're going to set a boundary. Attack the problem and not the person. Can you say that with me? Attack the problem and not the person. What we do so oftentimes is we attack the person instead of the problem. And that's why we Garfunkel. That's why we lose relationships. Because we just confront, and we lose the person.
Right. So many times the best thing that we have to do in drawing and coming to a balance is let that mildly offensive behavior and the words
right.
just evaporate and let the warmth and the love of God cover that situation and be understanding. I'm so glad that God doesn't point out every time to me, and there are some days
yeah.
where I do sin and I do lose my cool, and I'm glad that he doesn't point out every stupid, foolish thing that I do on a daily basis.
Right.
But he waits, and he lets that sweet Holy Spirit just come and say, okay, let's work on this area of your life, Kathy.
All right.
He picks those times. But, you know, tolerance sometimes really rubs us the wrong way. We're human.
Right.
You know, we get irritated, and it's really hard to do. So, but we really need to let the tolerance and the forgiveness work in our lives.
Yeah, forgiveness and tolerance go together. Okay, here's the third piece, and I want to finish on this one. First, we need to listen. Then we need to be tolerant. And this is the third glue that will keep your relationship together. Affirmation. Can you say affirmation?
Affirmation
strengthens a relationship. You know, when you say to somebody, I like you, that is the most powerful message. Now, I didn't say I love you, because, you know, you may not want to say to somebody at work in the cubicle, or you may not want to say to your neighbor, hey, I love you, you know. Maybe that's okay in certain situations, but I like you can be a huge message. And let me ask you this, in the relationship where you are struggling most, in the one that hurts the most right now, do you think it's like in the room, in that relationship, do you think the idea, I like you, is in the room? Because I promise you, if that person has gotten from your constant confrontation or from misunderstanding or whatever, if they've gotten the idea that you don't like them, then what's happening is the glue that holds that friendship together is breaking down. And very soon, there's going to be a slip. What we have to do, and I use the word like, because I really want you to hear this. I could say love, and love is the Bible word. But sometimes we love somebody, but we don't like them. And it's kind of communicating through, I don't like. I don't like your cooking. I don't like the way you talk. I don't like the way you chew your food. With your bare face hanging out, I don't like the way you do this. I don't like. And pretty soon, the big message of I love you is drowned out by the little message, the constant drip, 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 I don't like you. The most powerful thing that you can do to connect with someone is to send the message that you like them and that you would like to stay in relationship with them and that you're committed to the relationship. And affirmation is powerful. Romans chapter 5. This is how God affirms us. All right? It says, think about this. While we were wasting our lives in sin, God revealed something. He made something plain. He made something clear to us. What did he reveal? He revealed his powerful love. Now, brothers and sisters, think about God, who had every reason to give up on us, especially when we were sinning and being jerks like you can't believe, and we weren't even seeking him, right? And what was he doing? He was sending a huge message to us. I like you, I love you, I want you. And that is what glues us to God. It's his love. It's the fact that he doesn't give up on us. It's the fact that he not only loves us, but likes us, that he's pleased with us, that he's proud of us. That's what keeps us together. It's not, we haven't lost our relationship with God because God's love has never failed. The reason that we can know that he loves us is because Christ died on the cross. That was a revelation. That was proof. My point is this. What are you doing to reveal your love? What sacrifices are you making, and what messages are you sending in that relationship of I like you and I love you? That is so important. Now, when people are imperfect, which they are, they sin, right. They mess up, right? How do we still send the love message without emphasizing, without losing the truth?
Right. So we affirm the person, but we confront the issue.
Right.
Kind of like Jesus did with the woman that was caught in adultery. You all remember that story. He affirmed her, but he confronted the issue of sin that was in her life. We can't really build relationship by constantly confronting people and just say, you know, you did this, and because that is a relationship killer.
Right.
And
constant confrontation.
Right. One of the things that in our relationship that you've actually helped me with is that in communicating the issue, whatever the issue is, mm-hmm. because I always want to get, like, usually if you're upset about something, you don't really want to take the time to affirm a person. You really just want to say, oh, you know, you did this and it's irritating, and, you know, go right to the sin, or maybe it's not a sin, but it's something that's irritating. And you help me to say, tell me that you think that I'm still a good person. I want to know that I'm still a good person. In other words, you wanted to be affirmed, which did not come naturally to me, but I'm learning to do that and affirming a person first and saying, what you were saying is, hey, I still love you, I still like you, but let's talk about this issue.
We can't confront and think that that is going to create closeness. Constant confrontation creates the impression, I don't like you. And that's not the message that we want to send. We want to affirm the person and confront the issue. We're coming to the end of the time here, and I have to close this up, but I got to tell you this quick story. I saw a picture, and it's true. There's a church, and you'll understand why it was a small church in just a minute. Had a bulletin board in the lobby with great big green letters, bring all the tithe into the storehouse and do not rob God, Malachi 3:15. So far, so good, right? Then, like a classroom bulletin board, it said, list of God robbers. A list on the church bulletin board of people that were not tithing. Now, I'm looking at that going, okay, here's a pastor who's doing confront, right? With the, maybe it was true, but oh my gosh, does he think that people are going to somehow shape? Do we think we're going to shape people up by shaming them, by confronting them, by constantly? There's a different way to reach people. There's a different way to love people, and there's a way to correct people and confront people without losing the glue of the relationship. How many of you want to stay glued in the relationships that are the most important? So what kind of a person do we want to be? We want to be the kind of a person that listens, really deeply listens. We want to be the kind of a person that is tolerant, that accepts that differences and doesn't get all bent out of shape and constantly upset about differences. And then we also want to be a person who can affirm, revealing and showing to the other person, you are important to me, I like you, I love you. If you do these three things, something great is going to happen in your relationships. Do you believe this? Let's pray together. The worship team is coming, and we're going to have a chance to bring our tithes and offerings and put our decision cards and our guest cards into the offering as it comes by. I'm going to pray that God will bring healing and life to our relationships. And I know that in a room this size, and listening online and in the cafe, there will probably be dozens of you that right now are in like a crisis in a major relationship in your life. And Kathy and I care so much about that. We want to see people really deeply connecting. Let's pray for marriages. Let's pray for father-son relationships. Let's pray for people that are sitting in the same room or on the same team, but they're just kind of at each other. Let's ask the love of God to begin to be a bond that will never be broken in our lives. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you and we thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word is light on our path. It's a guide to us, Lord. It shows us the right way. It points us. Thank you, Lord, for the commands to listen. The example, Lord, of how you are tolerant and patient with us. And Lord, how you affirm your love for us. I pray that these ingredients would be rebirthed and renewed in every one of our relationships, Lord. Lord, take our relationships to a brand new level. And don't let us slip away, Lord. Don't let us lose the relationships that are so important. Holy Spirit, comfort each and every one of us and teach us really how to love the way we need to love. And Father, I thank you for your great love for us. I thank you that when we sin and when we mess up, that you've never given up on us. You've never withdrawn from us. You've been so faithful, Lord. Your love is so amazing. How we praise you. When we're ashamed and when we feel like we've messed up and maybe we would walk away, but Lord, your love just doesn't even let us walk away. You're so good, Lord. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for healing our relationship with you, Lord, and keeping it strong. Just while your heads are bowed, I'd like to take 30 seconds to just give you the opportunity. If you've never received Christ, if you don't know what it is to be forgiven, to have his love fill you, I want to pray with you. I want that very badly for you. I want you to experience the love of God, the forgiveness of God. Maybe at one point in your life, you knew that, you had that, and something happened. It slipped away, and you've lost somehow your relationship with God. God wants to restore that relationship. He wants to touch you. He wants to forgive you. All you have to do is say, Lord, forgive me and change me and fill me with your love. And if that's you, just while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'd like to pray for you. And if that's you, would you just raise a hand and let me know that you're here? I want to just have a special prayer. I wouldn't embarrass you. Thank you. I see you. Put your hand up. Thank you in the back. I appreciate you. I see you also. Several hands today going up. Thank you. I'm going to pray for you. Something's going to happen, and you're going to reconnect with God in a powerful way. Now, there's 5 people in this room. There might be somebody listening online or in the cafe. Holy Spirit, just touch every person that's separated from you and do a miracle, Lord, I pray. Now, Lord, I ask that you touch every hand that's lifted, and Lord, you see every heart. I ask you to do a miracle in their life through the Holy Spirit. Now, everybody, just look up at me. It's not my desire to embarrass anybody or draw attention to you. That's not necessary. That's not important. These are very private decisions that we make that end up being a very public life that we lead. I'm going to say a prayer with you, especially if you raised your hand, and that prayer is going to be up on the screen. And I want you to say that prayer, and let this be the moment. Let this be the moment as we put that prayer up on the screen. Let this be the moment where you really connect and come back to God. And we're all going to say this prayer together, all right? Can we do that online in the cafe, right here in the auditorium? Let's say this prayer. Father God, thank you for loving me when I didn't love you. Today, I accept your love and forgiveness. Jesus, I'm so grateful. I ask you to change me and fill me with love for others. Heal my relationships and cause them to reflect your love. In Christ's name. Amen. Now let's tell the people who raised their hand today, we think they did something very important. Amen. Hallelujah. We would be so excited if you're new in the church or if you made a decision for Christ today, we would be so excited to receive your decision card, your I'm new here card. The guys are going to come, the gentlemen and ladies that serve us. We're going to give our tithes and offerings at this time. And if you would, just give generously and also drop in your visitor card, your welcome card, and your decision card for the Lord. As we worship the Lord, let God's love just touch you in a special way.
You're glad the old things have passed away. God, your love has stayed the same. Let's sing it together. And old things have passed away. Your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace remains the cornerstone. Oh, and things that we thought were dead are breathing in life again.
Yes,
you cause your sun to shine on darkest nights. For all that you've done, we will
glad we could be together. The prayer teams are going to come forward at this time. They're going to be right here at the front. If you need healing prayer, maybe you're wrestling with anxiety, discouragement, depression. We're going to have some men and ladies up here at the front that are available to pray. We really do care about every person's need. If you have to go, that's great. But if you need prayer, we're here for you. And so glad that you could be here. Thank you for joining us. Next Sunday is going to be an incredible revelation of outreach and vision and passion for our city. So I hope you come. Right now, would you just lift your hands and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to speak life over you. I'm going to speak grace over you. The blessing of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you right now that through your mighty power, nothing is impossible. And Lord, when we are weak, then you are strong. That's grace. And I speak grace and peace over your people. I pray that the love that comes from above would fill us and empower us, Lord, in every relationship that counts. Teach us to love and move in love and be filled with love through Christ. And I bless your people to love each other and live big for you in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Thank you for being here. If you need prayer, join us here at the front. God bless you. You are dismissed with the blessing of the Lord.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our